力，我要不能放下大马鸟，我把你抓回来，我让你看，南北归时候，归你的国家大马人，追逐白雪马武家，追逐花子大飞大人，咱们在这儿等着大家，你们当自己的，他为生他不能分辨的才能，就是谁的结底呢？归我大归下马来，咱们在这儿来把心下看你老家。
In Sanskrit, it is known as Pradhana. So, when Mahavishnu glances level for that time. And the nature of time is to cause agitation. Time creates the dynamics of action. When the time is happened, so when time is injected into this vedana, the unmanifested form of nature starts to agitate and it starts to transform into the manifested form, which is known as Mahatattva. So slowly manifestation takes place. And the detailed process of manifestation step by step is explained in the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Now when the universe is manifested, Mahavishnu takes his second Purusha incarnation, which is known as Garbhodasaya Vishnu, and he enters into each and every one of these universes. And from within the universe, he gives birth to the first living entity in the universe, who is known as Brahma. And he gives Brahma all the required knowledge and intelligence to take charge of the process of creation within the universe. So utilizing this knowledge, Lord Brahma further designs and engineers the entire universe. That is why Lord Brahma is also known as the secondary creator. Okay, Lord Brahma's body is also unique. He has a very special reproductive system, whereby from the different parts of his body, he can give birth to different types of different species of living entities. So in this way, Lord Brahma slowly populates the entire universe with all different types of living entities. So this is really the process of creation. If we are interested in the details, we can refer to Bhagavad, the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, now coming back to the process of creation, the next important question is, what is the purpose of this creation? In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Mame Vamaso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhukta Sanatana Naha, which means every living entity are parts and parcels of Krishna. So being the parts of Krishna, our actual duty is to cooperate with Krishna and serve Krishna. That is the duty of part is to serve the Lord. However, the living entities are also known as marginal energy of the Tatanita Sakti of Krishna. Being the marginal energy, we have the freedom, we have the freedom of choice whether we want to cooperate with Krishna or we want to enjoy independence from Krishna. So when we choose to enjoy independence from Krishna, to facilitate this desire, Krishna creates this material universe. So that is the first purpose of creation, to fulfill the desire of living entities who want to enjoy independence from Krishna. Okay, now the second purpose is as a reformation center, a place to reform and to make the living entities to understand that we cannot gain happiness if we try to enjoy independence from Krishna. In the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the universe is described, this universe is described as Dukkhalaya. Dukkhalaya is a place which is full with misery. In Bhagavad Gita, Vyasa Maharaj says that the moment we pray for happiness, misery begins. That is the nature of this universe. It's full with ups and downs. Just like a fish cannot be happy outside the water, it is difficult for us to be happy away from Krishna. Our happiness is only when we are connected to Krishna. So the universe is created to make us to understand this point. But to realize this point simply by experience is difficult. It's therefore, to make the learning process more effective, our experience has to be followed by a proper guidance. So for the sake of giving us guidance, Krishna gives his third incarnation, which is called as Shirodasaya Vishnu or the Super Soul, which is the topic of today's world. And in the form of the Super Soul, Krishna expands himself and enters into the heart of every living entity. The Super Soul is also known as the best friend of the living entity. What is the nature of a best friend? A best friend is one who, first of all, he cares for us and he maintains us. He genuinely cares for our well-being. Secondly, he never rejects us even if we reject him. Thirdly, he is always accompanying us in all different conditions of life. And at the same time, he gives us the space and the freedom and the privacy in our own life. So we can see all these in the Super Soul. Firstly, in the by the agencies of nature, Krishna is providing us all that is necessary for our maintenance in this universe. Okay? And then Krishna is also, we have rejected Krishna, but Krishna is not neglecting us. He is accompanying us constantly in the form of super soul. Even if we are born as a worm in the dirtiest state, Krishna never neglects us. He never says that you stay there for a while and not be taken care. Krishna never says this. He is with us in all conditions of life. Okay. Thirdly, the presence of super soul is perceived from the what we call inner voice, the conscience. When we do something wrong, we will listen to the voice which tells that this is not good. So this is the voice of the super soul. And if he chooses to ignore his voice, Krishna simply silences down. But he never neglects us. He always trying to find out means how he can help us out from this condition. So this is how Krishna answers from within. And not just from within, from outside also Krishna is always giving us guidance. So in the form of teaching like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Krishna is teaching us that we cannot be happy independent from him. Krishna also constantly takes incarnation and comes to this material world. And in the form of incarnation, he is trying to attract us back to the spiritual world. He is telling us what is the actual meaning of a peaceful life. And on top of this, he is also constantly telling his pure devotees to give us guidance. So here we can see how Krishna is so much eager to deliver us. So the topic of creation is not just another phenomenological science. Rather, it shows us Krishna's mercy, the aspect, the mercy aspect of Krishna. How much Krishna is eager to help us, even when he has neglected us. So we should appreciate this aspect of creation. That is why Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam that the topic about creation is not different from the narrations of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Both are transcendental because they are activities of Krishna. And hearing both topics are equally beneficial to us. Okay, so now we have seen the purpose of creation. Basically, the purpose of creation is to, one is to fulfill our desires to enjoy independence of Krishna, and second is to give us, to reform us and make us to understand that we cannot be happy when we are independent of Krishna. Okay, now if we really look at the explanation that I have given, we will find that something is that seriously doesn't make sense. Okay. We know that Krishna is omnipotent. He can do anything simply by his will. If he can do everything simply by his will, then why should Krishna put so much effort in trying to create the entire universe and do so many stuff to deliver us? Krishna should be able to deliver simply by his will. He should be able to just make us happy by his will. Why is Krishna not doing this? What is the purpose of doing so many things to deliver us? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that Jivera Swarupa Haya Krishna Nityaja. The actual position of living energy is to serve. We gain happiness when we serve. That is our real, the real way of gaining happiness. That is why even in this world, we want to serve our family, we want to serve our friends, society. And sometimes even this is not enough. We want to gain health and dogs and cats, and we want to serve them. In this way, we try to gain happiness by doing some service. But the problem is, usually this does not give us the satisfaction that we are expecting. Very often, if not all, always, the relationship ends in frustration. We have unreasonable expectations which cannot be fulfilled. We have selfish desires which make us not to obtain the happiness that we are seeking for. Okay? Not only, and the second thing, we also always seek for shelter. Okay? In fact, it says, psychologically it says that the reason that people get into illicit activity is because we have emptiness in our heart, sometimes we feel lonely, and to fulfill this emptiness, we take shelter and illicit activities, and eventually we get addicted to such activities. And in modern society, it is very common that people take shelter in anxiety itself. When we feel there is a problem, we try to contemplate the problem, hoping that it will eventually come up, but it never happens. The problem is worse. And this is why you get into depression. And depression is one of the very major problems in today's society. Many people commit suicide due to depression. So this shows that we have a strong urge to take shelter on something reliable. We have a strong urge to serve, to exchange love. This is what actually gives us happiness. But where can we fulfill this urge? According to our scripture, the only person who can fulfill this urge is Krishna, because Krishna is unlimited. Okay, this point cannot be further explained. To understand this, we have to personally experience it. If we try to take shelter with Krishna, we will understand that this is the real shelter that we are looking for. This is what exactly we are looking for all the while. That shelter of Krishna is service to Krishna will give us the sufficient happiness. Okay. So Jiveya Swarupa Maya Krishna Mukhya Jaya. That's why Lord Shri Krishna says that our real happiness lies when we re-establish our relationship with Krishna, when we engage in the devotional service to Krishna. Okay, now let's see what is the nature of service, of relationship. Okay. Just imagine that there is an orphan, a child who does not have parents. And another couple and the adult this child. And they are trying to show all the love they can to this child. Just like how any mother would show love to any parent would show love to their children. Would the child feel the happiness of being with the parents? The child is not going to feel that happiness until and unless he personally accepts this couple as his parents. So that is the nature of relationship. The happiness or the bliss of a relationship cannot be experienced until and unless we voluntarily accept the relationship. So similarly, Krishna can show us all the love, but we are not going to experience the happiness until and unless we personally and voluntarily accept Krishna as our Lord and Master. That answers the question. That is why Krishna cannot possibly give us. Even if Krishna gives us all that he requires, we are not going to be happy until and unless we voluntarily accept Krishna. If we voluntarily accept the relationship with Krishna, we also cannot force someone to love us. Love can only expect someone to love us. That is why Krishna cannot artificially deliver any living entity. He can only try to attract us, but finally whether we want to accept Krishna or we want to reject Krishna is our choice. Krishna cannot do anything about this. Okay? So then the next question is, we can understand that we have to develop a relationship with Krishna. We have to love Krishna. But why do we say that we have to serve Krishna? Because love is all about some inner feeling nice about someone. The answer is, love is not just about feeling. Love is actually all about service, tolerance, patience, the amount we can sacrifice for someone. This is what love is characterized by. The relationship is based on service. That is why Prabhupada translates the word devotional service. Prabhupada translates Bhakti Yoga as devotional service. The substance of Bhakti is service. If we just speak without any attitude of service, even sociologically, it is not called love, it is called infatuation. It's a feeling that comes to point of view that any disappears eventually. Okay, so when we say about service, we have to take, sometimes we have to take this comfort. For example, when we are reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, sometimes we may find very difficult. We may find turning each page to be negative. We'll find very difficult to, because we may not have the taste. But if we force ourselves and we do it for Krishna, that is the attitude of service. The feeling is eventually come. When you pay attention for something, the feeling will come. As Prabhupada explained in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when we continue to serve, eventually we will feel the pleasure in our service. And therefore, in higher states, we will feel the love of Krishna. On the other hand, if we just feel and we don't serve, that is dangerous. When we have the feeling, we should immediately translate the feeling into service. Okay, now we can understand that the importance of serving. And you can see that Krishna is already serving us. That shows that Krishna loves us. And our duty is now to reciprocate with Krishna. We should serve him back. Okay, one question we ask. We know that we are in a position that we do not have control over everything. We are helpless. So it makes sense for Krishna to serve us. To say that Krishna needs to serve us makes sense because we need some shelter. But what sense does it make to say that we should serve Krishna? Krishna is offering himself. He doesn't need anything from anyone else. So how can we serve Krishna? What is the meaning of us serving Krishna? Okay, just imagine. Let's say there's a child, a 3-year-old child. For his mother's birthday, he takes the paper and he takes the pen from the home and he draws a simple birthday card and then he gives his card to his mother. The mother is very, very happy. But if you look at it, then the paper belongs to just his mother, the pencil belongs to the mother. Even the skill how to draw is probably taught by the mother. And not only this, even the energy to draw is come from the food that is given by the mother. So everything is provided by the mother. But still the mother feels happy when the child gives this card to the mother. Why? Because what makes someone happy is the endeavor. The mother sees the endeavor of the child. Similarly, Krishna sees our loving attitude and our endeavor that we try to serve him. This is what Krishna wants. Okay? To understand this, let's see a passage from Bhagavatam. One time in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda was feeding milk to Krishna. Okay? And when she was feeding milk to Krishna, all of a sudden, she realized that the milk that she kept in the pot in the kitchen was overboiling. So she took Krishna down and she immediately went to the kitchen to take care of the milk. And Krishna felt just like any other child would. When he is hungry, he started crying. You know, we may think that Krishna is thinking that here is a nice devotee of mine, Yashoda. She is thinking that I am a child and she is trying to sincerely serve me. So let me feed her by crying and acting as an ordinary child. So we may think that Krishna is thinking like this, but our Acharya says that Krishna is not thinking like this. In fact, the love of Mother Yashoda is so intense that Krishna at that moment feels that he is the real child of Yashoda. He forgets that he is the control of the entire universe. He is immersed into the service and he genuinely feels thankful for the service of Yashoda. This is why Krishna is crying. This shows that God, even this is very amazing to see, the supreme controller of everything is now acting as an ordinary child and he feels as an ordinary child because of the power of love. So Krishna becomes dependent on the love of his devotees when the love is really intense. Okay. In our stage, we may not be able to show this amount of love for Krishna, but whatever we do, whatever small things that we do, it will please Krishna. Krishna is pleased by every small thing we do. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the 26th verse, Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Alankaroyam Yoga Bhaktya Kayashati Tat Aham Bhakti Upavartam Ashyami Vedakaranaha. Krishna is telling that if one offers him with love, a leaf, water, flower, or a fruit, I will accept him with love. If this is offered with love, I will accept it. In the purpose, Prabhupada says that the real ingredient that Krishna is accepting is the love of the devotee. So when we do something, we must understand that we are doing this to please Krishna. And when we do it, that attitude, Krishna accepts it. For example, when we are doing any form of devotional service, when we are reading Bhagavad Gita, or when we are chanting, or when we are coming to the temple and we are engaging in service, we must keep in our mind that this activity pleases Krishna, and that is the only reason I am doing this activity. That should be our motive, to please Krishna, and we must know that Krishna is being pleased. Okay. So, finally, I we have seen the importance of service, but how to cultivate this attitude of service. Okay. Prabhupada says that emotional service is not some imaginative ecstasy, meaning the substance of emotional service is its practical activity. So there is a proper way to cultivate this service, and Rupa Goswami explains how this service attitude can be cultivated in Upadesha Goita. He says there are six favorable items which will help us to cultivate this service attitude. First is Utsaha, which means enthusiasm. What a devotee must be always enthusiastic in just in to serve Krishna. What is the meaning of enthusiastic? Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm does not mean to be excited all the time. It simply means that we must be eager. We must always see the opportunity of serving and grab the opportunity. For example, if we see a place dirty and we see a group, we must immediately take the group and sweep the place. That is the eagerness to serve and the eagerness to grab the opportunity to serve. That is called enthusiasm. Second, one should be patient. We cannot expect the results immediately. It will take some time. But at the same time, the devotee is always confident. He knows that if I continue to serve Krishna, I will eventually get the result. Okay. Thirdly, devotional service is also not something that we can invent ourselves. The process is, there is a systematic process how to advance devotional service has been already delineated in the scriptures and given by our Acharya. So we must follow the regulations of devotional service and follow the footsteps of our Acharya. And the final thing is, one should avoid bad association or the association which discourages the strong devotional service. So these are the six items which are favorable in cultivation of our devotional service. Enthusiasm, patience, confidence, following the regulation principles, following the footsteps of our previous acharya, and avoiding bad association. You know, finally, I would like to discuss how we can practice this devotional service in our daily life. In Bhakti Vatsa Amrita Guru, Rupa Goswami gives us five different processes which we can follow in our regular daily life. Five different processes of devotional service. We can remember this by remembering that these are A, B, C, D, and E of devotional service. A is to get the association of devotees. We should come and regularly associate with devotees. Association with devotees means, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Katayata Chamavityam, Kushyan Kita, Ramaticha. In the association of devotees, we discuss the topics of Krishna and we discuss how we can serve and engage in devotional service. Second is B, Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. To hear and read regularly means the books, the devotional books such as Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is important because regular reading and hearing will give us the conviction to continue and sustain our devotional service. Third is chanting. As we know, chanting is the most important process in this yuga. So we must regularly chant. At least some amount of energy must be dedicated to concentrate on the names of Krishna. And number four, D is for deity worship. Deity worship will help us to regulate our emotional life. Offering aarti to the deity, offering bhoga to the deity, this helps us to regulate our emotional life. And finally, E is to enter the holy places, visiting holy names such as Vrindavan and Mathura. It may not be possible for us to visit these places on regular basis, but Advaita Acharya tells Lord Chaitanya that wherever you are, that is the holy place. So, and Prabhupada also says a similar thing that holy place is not just a track of land, that is a consciousness. So in this way, we must individually and collectively create the consciousness of holy Dhamma. If we come together and discuss the topic of Krishna, in this way we are creating the consciousness of Vrindavan. Similarly, if we come together and we discuss the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then we are creating the consciousness of Mahayana. In this way, we should always immerse ourselves in the consciousness of holy Dhamma. Okay. That's all. Okay, I'll just summarize what I spoke. sorry, I went very fast. First, we discussed what the process of creation. We saw how Krishna expands himself and through his expansion, he created the universe. And secondly, we saw the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to, one is to fulfill the desires of the living entity to enjoy the presence of Krishna, and secondly, to give the living entity sufficient experience so that they can be delivered from this conditional life. And third, we saw that the nature of relationship is such that it can only be experienced when we voluntarily accept the relationship. That is why Krishna cannot forcefully or artificially deliver us. He can only accept us, and when we accept the relationship, then we can be delivered. And fourthly, we saw the importance of serving in cultivating a relationship. Okay? And then finally we saw how we can cultivate this service religion and how we can practice devotional service in our daily life. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?